The word of the Lord that we considered this evening is printed in your bulletin on page 6. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning at verse 69 and going through chapter 27, verse 5. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. So far the word of the Lord. We pray. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Dearly beloved, bought and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ and given a living hope through his resurrection from the dead. Tonight we consider who gains from the cross in the cases of Peter and Judas. I know it just says Peter in your bulletin, but we're going to compare the two of them. You know, they're often compared to each other, and for good reason. Although in the end, entirely opposite, they are up to a crucial point remarkably similar. Let's consider the two of them from the viewpoint of an investigator. You know, an investigator, like a criminal investigator, at least the ones I see on TV, they're always following the money. Now they're asking, who gains from this crime? Who stands to profit from it? And by doing so, they can often figure out some good suspects. Let's look at Peter and Judas from that viewpoint, but do so before the fact to begin with, before the cross. Who gains when we look at Peter and Judas before the crucifixion actually happens? From this viewpoint, of course, Judas is obviously guilty. It's an open and shut case. He has 30 pieces of silver to gain from the cross of Christ. On the other hand, Peter's innocence is pretty obvious. He swears that he will not betray the Savior. He pulls out his sword to fight for him. He doesn't betray him. He denies him, but he doesn't betray him. In their plans and determinations, Peter and Judas would appear to be polar opposites, and indeed they are. And yet, in a number of ways, they are markedly similar. Judas betrays, and Peter denies the Savior. Both of them afterwards bitterly regret what they have done, and as a result, neither of them are at the cross. And I think about all the characters in this Passion narrative. Most of them are there at Calvary. And in all of our other midweek Lenten meditations this year, we're considering who gains from the cross in the cases of people who were there. But Peter and Judas are conspicuously missing. That's because neither of them, at least at the time, thought they had anything to gain from the cross. And that is because neither of them listened to Jesus. "I warned you, but no, you knew, didn't you?" Thus said Tim the Enchanter in a certain well-known movie to King Arthur and his knights. It's pretty silly, I know, but the illustration works quite well. He had warned them of a certain small, harmless-looking rabbit and told them that it was, in fact, a ferocious beast who had killed 50 knights and left their bones strewed around its lair. And of course, he didn't listen. I mean, who would? It's just a rabbit, right? It's a common enough sort of story. Someone warns you about something. You don't believe them. You say it's just a rabbit. You go ahead and do it anyway, and you end up in a mess. So it was for Judas. His guilt cannot all be in question. All four of the gospel writers tell us how he planned and premeditated this betrayal of Jesus. And yet, from our text, it becomes clear that he did not think his betrayal would lead to the cross for Christ. He thought this was going to be something of a win-win. You know, he's going to be able to get a little money. Maybe Jesus will never even know that he did it. And even if he does, you know, he won't get hurt. I say this because of chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver. Judas perhaps thought that having no actual accusation and certainly having no evidence, they just have to let him go. Or maybe having seen Jesus' miraculous power so many times, figured that Jesus would have no problem escaping from their clutches. But clearly, he did not think that Jesus was going to be killed for this. He thought this was going to be like when a baseball team trades a player at the trade deadline, gets a bunch of prospects, and then in the offseason they go and sign the guy again, right? Win-win. But boy, was he wrong. But they did not let Jesus go. Their lack of any real accusation, their lack of any evidence at all, certainly did not stop them from condemning him. And Jesus did not lift a finger or say a word to stop it. Judas should have known that was going to happen, because Jesus had repeatedly, explicitly told him so. Jesus said, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. I'm going to be betrayed by a disciple. Judas, the disciple, is you. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again on the third day. And apparently it was just in one ear and out the other. Judas had no faith in Christ's promise of resurrection because he didn't spare any time to listen or give any heed to the warnings of the law that the Savior spoke to him. He was too busy. Too busy with his plans and schemes, with his sinful manipulations and rationalizations, see how he could make a quick buck. Suddenly he found himself in deep trouble, and he didn't see any way out. He didn't remember what Jesus had said. He didn't remember or understand that this had to happen, or the reason why it had to happen. And so he tries to fix things himself. He brings back the money as if he could redeem Jesus' life with 30 pieces of silver. Judas understands that Jesus is innocent blood, but he does not realize the precious value of that blood. He recognizes that 30 pieces of silver is a paltry sum to receive for betraying the only begotten one, but he does not grasp the immense value, the life-giving, forgiving value of the death of God in human flesh. And so, Judas goes out and hangs himself as if his death could accomplish what Christ's could not. He's not at Calvary, because what bitter irony. He doesn't go to the cross to see Jesus hanging for the sins of the whole world, even for his own sins, because instead he's hanging himself in a desperate and hopeless attempt to somehow try to deal with his guilt and deal with what he has done. All the while, Jesus is suffering and bleeding and dying for Judas, offering him what he never imagined he could have, giving freely what he never could have gained himself. But Judas didn't know, because Judas didn't listen. And now it's too late. Judas thought he maybe could redeem Jesus for the 30 pieces of silver, but sorry, Judas. No take backs, no returns. All sales are final. What's done is done. And now, to Judas, one thing seemed clear. His guilt could not be undone. No returns, no take backs, no salvation. Judas went down to damnation. And let it be a warning to you, because it was Judas' greed that led him to this dreadful end. Each time he used to steal from the money bag, perhaps he thought, it's no big deal, it's just a little thing, it's a harmless little rabbit. No one will really get hurt, no one will even notice. I'll stop next time. Perhaps there's some sin which you too have indulged in again and again. Drunkenness, pornography, strip clubs, hateful or harmful words, lying, stealing, cheating, dishonoring your parents, dishonoring your spouse, belittling or harming those who are weaker than you. And perhaps every time you think, it's not that big of a deal, it's just a harmless little rabbit. Or maybe, when pondering whether to commit this sin again, you stand as if on the edge of a knife. And you think, this will be the last time. I'll do it once more, and then I'll stop, then I'll repent, and then Jesus will forgive me. But the deadly peril of such willful sinning is that there very well may not be a next time, and one more becomes one more becomes one more. And worst of all, a refusal to listen to the warnings of the law deafens our ears to the promises of the gospel, so that, like Judas, you might end up lost. Nothing gained from the cross. Peter. What of Peter? Well, in so many ways, he was just like Judas. He didn't listen to Jesus either. How many times did Jesus warn them, you will all fall away because of me this night? And Peter's only response, I won't. Even if everyone else does, I'll never. I'm better. He swore and promised and committed himself, and then he fell flat on his face. Failed entirely. All because he relied upon himself. And what it really comes back to is that before the fact, before the cross, Peter didn't think there was anything to be gained from the cross. And that goes all the way back to Matthew 16. After he confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus explained to him and the other disciples what that meant. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and on the third day be raised. And you remember Peter's response? Far be it from you, Lord. These things shall not happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Peter clearly understood what Jesus was saying. He just refused to believe it. He couldn't fathom that Jesus would gain anything from the cross. The night that he was arrested again, Peter clearly understood what his enemies were trying to do, but again refused to listen to what Jesus was telling him. And in shutting his ears to the cross, he shut them to the promise of the resurrection. Peter thought that it was his job at all costs to keep Christ from the cross or die trying. That's what he thought not denying Jesus meant. But in fact, it meant listening to Jesus. Following him, trusting him, being willing to follow even to Calvary and to find gain in the cross above all other things. When Peter finally hears that rooster crow and sees Jesus look at him, he remembers. At first, he remembers only one part of what Jesus said. It said in our text that he remembered what Jesus had said to him, how he would betray him. Peter at first remembers only the law, and it strikes him hard. The law does its work on Peter. He goes out and weeps bitterly. He weeps as those who weep for the dead. He still doesn't remember what Jesus said, how he would die, that he would rise, because at least in the moment, Peter doesn't think there's anything to be gained from the cross. To him, it's no gain. It's only a place of pain, only a reminder of his faults, of his failure, of his guilt. And so, like Judas, he's not there. Neither of them understands. Neither of them thinks that the cross is the place for them because they weren't listening to Jesus. But the story doesn't end there. Well, at least it doesn't for Peter. If we ask that question again, who gains from the cross, but we look at it after the fact, the picture is very different. Judas, who had thought he had 30 pieces of silver to gain, ended up gaining nothing but death and damnation. Peter, who thought he had nothing to gain from the cross, ended up gaining everything in the cross and trusted in nothing besides it. Let's compare for a moment what Judas said in our text when he returned the money with what Peter says in the first chapter of his first epistle. Judas returns the silver and he says, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. He understood that Jesus was innocent. He may be definitely, at some point, at least understood something of who this Jesus was, but he didn't realize how precious that blood was to him. Peter would learn. 1 Peter 1:18-19, knowing that you were redeemed, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot. Peter and Judas both had relied upon themselves. Judas, first in his manipulations and schemes to try to make a quick buck, and then in his attempt to undo what he had done. Peter, in his insistence on relying on himself, on his own strength, on his own willpower, his own determination. But Peter would soon learn a different lesson, to trust wholly in Christ. In the first chapter of his epistle, he writes about how all flesh is as grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field, that it wilts when the breath of the Lord blows on it, but he says the word of our Lord endures forever, and that this is the word which had given birth to his faith and the faith of every believer. He speaks in verse 2 of that epistle about the faith which came to be through the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. There's nothing about Peter in those verses. Peter and Judas both had forgotten that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. But Peter soon would trust only and fully in his resurrection from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter became, in this hope and faith, a bold confessor who, instead of swearing, I do not know the man, would refuse to swear not to speak in his name and would say, we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. According to historical sources, Peter would follow Jesus in death, literally going to the cross and being crucified upside down for his confession of the resurrection of Jesus. Peter, like Judas, had been absent from the cross because in the moment he didn't think there was anything for him to gain there. But he would spend the rest of his life at the cross and empty tomb of the Savior, treasured nothing more than his holy precious blood, and hoped in nothing but his resurrection from the dead. Learn Peter's lesson. Have you ever been there? Perhaps after committing that pet sin again and again, the one you think is so harmless, maybe fun and a little bit cute, like a rabbit. And you tell yourself you won't do it again. You're determined. You swear. You make a solemn oath to God. And then you fail. You fall flat on your face. And perhaps you find yourself often looking inside. You know, how do I feel about God? Am I strong enough? Am I genuine enough? Am I a real Christian? Do I have the emotions that I should have? Don't trust in you or believe in you as if you were the solid rock, able to survive each shock. As if by strength of will or steel, as if by the way you feel, you could overcome, courageous, as if Christ's warnings were outrageous. Listen to Jesus. That's what Peter wasn't doing. It's why he wasn't there. But Jesus came down from the cross and up from the grave. He came to Peter, prayed for Peter, turned Peter, strengthened Peter, and kept Peter. See, the cross is the place for the guilt-ridden sinner. I once had a young man tell me that he sometimes wouldn't go to communion because he felt like the sins he had committed were too terrible. They made him unworthy. And I said, that's exactly when you should go. As Luther says, the words for you require nothing but believing hearts. This is who the cross is for. It was for a Judas, even though he didn't know it. A price far greater than silver. A price paid for even the vilest offender. It was for a Peter, a Savior who could, on one hand, show his divine omniscience and power by predicting when the rooster would crow and how many times Peter would betray him, and on the other hand, give himself over into the hands of sinful men and allow himself to be crucified. A Savior who would shed his innocent blood to make you innocent by his blood. Who would say to you, peace be to you, your sins are forgiven because I live, you will live also. Don't forget his word. Don't forget his word by filling your mind up with schemes and plans of sins that you can get away with. Don't forget his word by making him into an excuse to sin. Don't forget his word by trusting in yourself or by thinking that your guilt is too great. For you are a great sinner, but Jesus is a greater Savior. Count count all else loss, just gain the cross. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.